Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitators and coaches Betsy McLaughlin and Kathy Williams to delve into different areas of your life, get unstuck, and create the life that is truly possible for you. These joyful ladies have changed their lives by utilizing the tools and techniques they share with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Kathy and Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Betsy McLaughlin, here with my co-host, Kathy Williams. Hi, Kathy.
Hi there, Betsy. I'm excited about our topic today.
Me too. So, would you, you want to start us off by telling everybody a little bit about us and then go into what we're talking about today?
All right. Betsy and I have been doing this show for several years together, and we just love doing it because we hear from you and what's changing from you, and if you weren't a part of our show, then, you know, listeners are kind of why we're here. In addition to being radio hosts, we are Access Consciousness certified facilitators, meaning we teach classes all over the world about the bars, which are an energetic modality that really help people to relax and let go of all kinds of thoughts, feelings, and emotions that keep them stuck. And then we also teach other classes like the foundation and energetic facelift and all sorts of things, both in person and then online classes as well. And I believe we have one of those coming up soon. I know we have an in-person class in Virginia coming up, and I'm so excited to see you and give you a squeeze in person because it's been way too long. So Betsy and I also facilitate over the phone, you know, coaching people and things like that to change your lives with simple tools that are similar to the ones we share on the radio. So today we're going to talk about you want to say?
Da-da-da-da. Go right ahead, my dear.
Is it, do you procrastinate, avoid, or something else? And I'm just so excited about this topic because I've definitely been one of these people who thought I procrastinated, and sometimes I did. And then I realized that there was also something else going on. So if you're a procrastinator, yeah, or if you think you avoid things, which was also brought up by one of my clients yesterday, then stick around because we're going to talk about what else is present and what else is possible when these things are going on.
Yeah. I know for so long, Kathy, I made myself wrong for procrastinate what I thought was procrastinating, you know, and always waiting to the last minute. And I even had a joke. It's like, if it wasn't for the last minute, nothing would ever get done.
Anyone else out there like that? I've totally been known to be like that. Not always, but there's a good chance, you know, with tests or with even preparing handouts for a workshop, I used to be like that. And actually, that has served me well in certain cases when, let's say I have a class coming up and I'm like, shoot, I haven't prepared the manuals, or gotten them printed, rather. And then right. two extra people sign up the night before of the class or something like that. It's like, yeah. oh, cool. What did I know? And that's one of the questions we invite you to explore. If you feel like you're procrastinating, it's like, what are you aware of that might you may not have acknowledged yet? So you may be aware that, oh, not everyone has registered, or, oh, there's some other information that I don't have yet. And so if I were to act right now, it would actually be premature.
Yes. And that's such a wonderful question. It's like, what do I know? And there are so many times that we just don't give ourselves credit for what we know. You know, and if we, a lot of, and I used to do this a lot, Kathy, is I would like know something. And then I would discount what I know, what I knew because it was just so weird or it didn't make any sense and be like, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would I not, you know, want to go to so-and-so's house and, because I knew I was excited about seeing the person. I'm just using this like as a random example. But then I'd find out, I'd get a phone call and say, oh, so-and-so can't make it. And it's like, oh, that's what I knew. But it didn't make sense that I wasn't going because I knew I wanted to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And how many times do we all have that? But we're so quick to discount because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, oh, I should want to go. Why, you know, I kind of would like to go, so why does this feel off? Or we make ourselves wrong, like
yep.
the example of, oh, well, I should have gotten the manuals already. I'm such a procrastinator. Why do I wait for
right.
the last minute? Yeah.
Right, and then you start beating yourself up, and then, you know, that's just always a joyful place to be, right, when you're doing the self-criticism and doubt and recriminations.
Is it? And, I mean, here's one of these things we can ask ourselves whenever we're in any of that or other kind of mental craziness. It's like, is this constructive or destructive? Because even worry,
yeah.
you know, you can ask yourself, okay, is this constructive? And sometimes there might be something you become aware of, like, oh yeah, I could take this one action. That's useful. But most of this worry stuff, or most of this beating myself up stuff, is destructive. So what
right.
what choice can I make now?
Yes. What choice can I make now? And also another one I love is, you know, what creates greater?
Yes, along those lines. I love questions that kind of go along
yeah.
those lines. Like, what could I
yeah.
choose that's going to create greater possibilities right away? Or what can
yeah.
I choose that's going to create the greatest possibilities?
Right. Right. And so that's one part to, you know, are you aware? And, you know, if you're functioning from the state of procrastination all the time as just kind of a default, does it work for you? And I'm not saying it does or doesn't. It's really just a question that you can look at. And be like, does, you know, do I want to continue doing this? And it may very well work for you. So it's not making anybody a wrongness of anything.
And in that, it's also useful to consider, does this work for us? 'Cause
right.
like waiting for the last minute and getting more information, oftentimes works for me, but
mm-hmm.
for my babysitters, it might not work. You know, like they would like to
right.
know, oh, will you or will you not need me Wednesday night?
Right.
You know, so and, you know, if you're with somebody who needs to know things a week in advance, is, and you're more of a decider, oh, tomorrow night, or let me decide it right now for tomorrow night, or let me decide tomorrow for tomorrow night, you know, who else can you add to your life? Or, you know, is there a way that would work for both of you, or is that the right person to be babysitting your kids or whatnot? So it's an exploration that's the kingdom of we, not just, does this work for me?
Yes. Well, and would you say a little bit more about the kingdom of we?
Yeah. So when I make a choice, that choice affects not only me, it affects all the people in my life, and some more than others, of course, right? My kids, or if it includes a client or something like that, or, you know, it includes the entire world in a way. So if you are aware of that, then you can, you know, choose with the awareness, oh yeah, this influence is influencing not only me, but us. What can I choose that's going to create the greatest possibilities? And, you know, I had a nanny who really didn't like learning any about anything the day before. She wanted to plan a week in advance. And for the kingdom of we, it was actually better for us to split and her to depart, because I don't choose very much a week in advance. I do choose things a week in advance, but, you know, a client might schedule for 2 days from now, and I have the flexibility, if I do, to schedule that. But she was not like that. That's just not how she functions.
Ah, yeah. So the kingdom of we includes everyone, including yourself.
It does. You're not excluding yourself. And trying to do it for everybody else.
Yeah.
You're including you.
Well, the next thing that's, and I love that, you know, including you as well as everyone else. And the next thing that's popping in to talk about is, what if you're a planner and your enjoyable other or somebody you work with or, you know, someone in your life is a procrastinator, like always waits to the last minute on every single thing. And we all know people like that, you know, and those people, you know, a lot of times can be late for appointments and things as well. So what questions can we offer? What suggestions and tips to explore other possibilities?
Goodness, this is one that I'm pretty familiar with. You know, I used to be one of those people who felt like I could add, like, more stuff before I leave for an appointment. And, yeah. and not to a super dramatic level, but I definitely do know people who are 20 minutes late for everything. And so if you're one of those people, setting alarms, like most of us have our phones with us constantly. So how can you use that to your advantage? Even when we schedule something, at least in an iPhone, sometimes it'll ask you how much travel time is required. So what I like to do is schedule a little extra time. You know, that way the phone can let me know, oh, this is coming. And I can not leave at the time the phone suggests, but wrap up whatever I'm doing at the time the phone suggests, so that I can get on the road or, you know, be ready for whatever comes next.
Yeah. And one of the things I started doing is, like if I have an appointment, say at 3 o'clock, I actually, depending on if I have to leave or if it's a phone call or whatever, I've actually started putting reminders on my phone. So if I have to leave, I'll put it half an hour ahead. If it's just like I need to make a phone call, then it's 15 minutes. And then that helps me because you can get so absorbed in what you're doing that, and time flies by. So that way it helps me stay on track with whatever it is I'm working on. And one of the tricks that
really
I've used.
Useful too. Oh,
go ahead.
Keep going. Keep going.
Well, so one of the other tricks I have learned is my husband is perpetually late. He's just one of those people who thinks he can do everything, and it just takes longer than what he anticipates. So now I knew this. I used to get really mad, which didn't really do anything except for create tension between us. So now what I do is if I want to leave the house at 9 o'clock, I'll tell him 8:45. And so then we're actually leaving when we need to leave to get to wherever we're going. So that's a little trick I've learned over the years. And then, you know, I'm not getting mad at him. And it, you know, creates a lot more peace in our life.
Wow. Yeah. A timer is great. even for people like my kids who, they require prep time. You know, it's like not enough to say, oh, we're leaving in 5 minutes. They kind of need to know in 20 minutes ahead. Like, okay,
right.
We're going to be leaving. And then they're more on the ball and willing to come. So that's an important thing, too. You know, letting people have whatever they consider enough time in advance. Wow, we're already at the point where we're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and we can talk about avoidance when we get back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Everybody, and welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance, where Kathy Williams and myself, Betsy McLaughlin, are having a fun conversation about procrastination, avoidance, or something else. Before we get back to the show, we would love to let you know of some goings on in our world. And Kathy has been a very busy girl literally all over the world this summer. She was in Bali on vacation, and then she went to London for a foundation class. And then now she's back in the United States. Are you in Chicago or are you in Hilton Head? Where are you right now?
Where in the world? One of the women I know in Brazil said, Kathy, you're like Carmen San Diego. We don't know where you are. So today I'm in Chicago, and tomorrow I head to Hilton Head to facilitate another bars and foundation class at the beach. And there is still room. And in fact, I believe there might be a room at the beach house if you'd like to come to the beach for 5 days to unwind and unwind a bunch of gunk from your head too. So find out about that at meetkathywilliams.com/upcoming. And then you can also join me in Portland, Maine in August, or Hawaii in September and October, and even Northern California in September. So there are all sorts of ways to play in the foundation class and in the bars class. And those are all at meetkathywilliams.com/upcoming, as is a program we're going to do together. So do you want to talk about that?
Yes, I'm so excited. Kathy's coming to Virginia in 2 weeks. So it's the 20, I should know this. My brain has gone mushy on me. It is
the 27th?
July 27th and 28th. We are teaching two different classes. You can come join us in person, or you could also stream it with us. So you
How
could be
fun
literally
is that?
Anywhere in the world and play with us live. And the first class is about how many ways do you avoid creating what you would like to create? And
oh, there's avoidance right there.
Right. Not that I would know anything about any of this. And so it's really, you know, we'll be diving into it. It's a 4-hour class, and we'll be diving way into tools and questions and clearings, processes on what we can do if we find ourselves stopping ourselves from creating the life that we would really like to create. And then the
I've
next
never stopped
day,
myself, have you, Betsy?
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, my gosh. And that was kind of something I used to do all the time. So I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, we'll definitely be sharing our stories as well as our clients of how we have changed that and what we can do. And then the next day is a full day class all about money. Show me the money, honey. And if you do both classes, you get a VIP special price as well. And you can find that information on Imperfect Brilliance. And we also have it up on our Facebook group. And you can certainly email us as well at imperfectbrilliance@gmail.com. So we have lots of fun stuff coming up. And I've also got a bars class, an access bars class. I've got a facelift class. I've got a foundation the end of September. So we have lots and lots of fun things coming up, and I'm sure we're going to put together another couple things as well, some other online classes that we've been mulling about that are kind of banging on our door to be created. So that is just a little sampling of all kinds of different ways that you guys can play with us.
How does it get any better than that?
How does it indeed? Indeedy do. So, procrastination, avoidance, or something else. So, when you're avoiding something, are you avoiding it because you don't want to do it? Or are you avoiding it because maybe you are aware of something that you don't know you're aware of?
Sometimes I'm avoiding because I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
I'm certainly true.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, You know, that was what was kind of so juicy about this conversation today, because certainly there are things I don't want to do, so I will avoid them until I cannot do them anymore. Excuse me, I said that wrong. I said that, but I think you still got what I was saying, is, you know, I'll avoid it until I must do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say. And now what I have found that is, if I do the thing that I, well, first of all, I will ask a whole bunch of questions, like, does that avoidance energy, or that energy of, I really don't want to do that, does that really even belong to me? So that's a question that
great
I was
question.
That right then now I ask and be like, well, because I'll be like, oh, I really don't want to do it. It's like, wait a minute, is that even mine that I don't really want to do it? It could
right.
be a yes, it could be a no. So if it's a no, then I can be like, oh, well, if it's not mine to begin with, which means I'm picking up on someone else's thoughts, feelings, or emotions about maybe they don't want to do something. Like, for instance, taxes, like, that's a big thing, right? No, most people don't want to do their taxes. And, you know, so you get avoidance of all kinds. Some people avoid it and avoid it and avoid it and avoid it and don't do it way past the deadline. You have other people who might do it right before the deadline is due. Or you may have people who were like, okay, I don't want to do this, so let me do this first and just, you know, get it done. So maybe you're tapping into all these other people's energies, because if you don't know this already, you're way more aware than you realize.
Yes. Yes. And even though you may know that, sometimes, like in the case of taxes, you may automatically go to, oh, yeah, this is, of course this is mine. Like, I just don't like taxes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like
when
me,
that
I,
happens, what do you do, Cass?
Oh, gosh. Well, first off, when it is not mine, thank goodness, it's easy to let go of, right? Oh, return it to sender with consciousness. That's just my awareness. I'm just that aware. Then sometimes it really is like, oh, I do not like doing this. And at which point I ask a couple of questions. One is, who could do this better than I can?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another is, if that's not going to happen, right, it's something that for me to do, I'd ask, what would it take for me to have a lot of fun with this and ease? Fun and ease with this. And it's really fascinating, because I have found activities just transform themselves right away by my asking those questions.
Mm.
Right? I had things to change about my website, and it really was not a fun process for me. And I was like, okay, what would it take for this to be really fun and have
mm-hmm.
ease? And it became a fun, creative project. So,
yeah.
You know, often we have lots of projections and conclusions and expectations of how something will be. And back to Betsy's example of taxes, lots of projections and expectations that that'll be a tedious activity. And what
yep.
if it doesn't have to be?
Yep.
How about
yep.
you, Betsy?
Well, I love, you know, I look at where I used to so avoid anything to do with the taxes that I would not have done any prep work during the year. So then I would just have stacks and stacks of paper everywhere. Well, of course, being self-employed, you've got a lot of paperwork, right? It's not, if you're not a W-2 employee, you know, you've got to really track every expense. So then, of course, it would take me a long time to get the spreadsheets done and all that stuff, and then I would get distracted, and I would do a little bit, and then it would just be like, oh, I can't do this today, and I would avoid it and put it off till another day. Well, I finally realized, you know, maybe that is not the smartest choice you could be making. So now I do it all along during the year. So I'll, you know, maybe once a month or every couple of months, I sit and I take half an hour, an hour, and like, all right, time to plug in all the expenses, so that at the end of the year, all I'm doing really, if I haven't done it already, is reviewing all the information and making sure it looks good, and am I missing anything and things like that, as opposed to being this, you know, 2 or 3 week project. So it's like, oh, okay. So again, you know, how could I make this easier on myself, and how could it be work out greater than I can imagine? That idea popped in. It's like, oh, what about trying it this way? It's like, okay. And I've been doing that for a while, and it works way better. So if my stack starts getting a little bit too high, like, oh, time to take some time and just input all the expenses. You know, now, yes, I could just turn all of this over to somebody else. And I've just chosen, at least so far, I've just chosen to continue to track it myself and just have it in a spreadsheet, and then I print everything out and take it to my accountant. So that is one way that I've realized I was making it way harder on myself than it really had to be.
I love that, Betsy. That is such a great example of how we can, you know, I mean, divide things into parts so that we don't have to do it all at once as this huge job that can tedious or overwhelming or whatever term people would have for it.
Right. Yeah. And it's just like if, you know, your entire, you know, house, every single room is dirty and cluttered and you prefer clean and uncluttered, then you can get overwhelmed because everywhere you turn and look, something is required. But what if you just looked in one room or one area and worked on that and didn't worry about the rest? And then before you know it, over however much time, you're no longer avoiding it, and you've actually accomplished what, you know, what you desire to accomplish. So those are just a couple of like little examples that I can think of where you can change from avoidance and what's really going on with the avoidance, you know, if it is something you're creating or if it's someone else's, and then what tools, what questions can you ask if it's not working for you to change it?
I love that. Yeah. There are so many questions along the lines of like, what would it take for me to have ease with this?
Yeah.
Who could I add? Or, you know, can I divide it into parts? Or can someone else do part of this? Or all sorts of, like, if we are willing to get curious, there are all sorts of ways that we can make things we avoid into something easy or easier. And then, you know, one of the things you mentioned earlier, and I'd love to touch on it again, is if you don't like something, but you know you're going to have to do it, sometimes it's really freeing to just do it first. Like, it's that idea of eat that frog. If you've ever seen Brian Tracy's work, I think it's even titled Eat That Frog or something like that, where if you know you have to, if you know you have to eat a frog during a day and that idea is really not appealing to you, don't do everything else, you know, and eat the frog at 5 or 7 p.m. Just eat it. And then the rest of your day will be so much better.
That is so funny. I've not heard that analogy. That's a riot. Yeah, so if it's something that you know you need to do, what if you did it first? And what you know, and being willing to play with it. And then also, how much fun could you have with something if you can't avoid it any longer? because it's for me at least, and tell me how this is in your world, Kathy, but if it's something I'm avoiding, somewhere I've decided it is not fun. So
yeah.
Because it's not fun, I'm avoiding it. So how could I make it fun? You know, turn on music, you know, what else, what questions can I ask? What would my body enjoy to make it fun?
Yeah, or even, okay, so maybe I don't like cleaning my house. Maybe someone else could come do it with me. You know, I'll clean this with a friend, and then I can do hers with her, and that's more fun. Or something, like getting creative. It doesn't always have to involve money or a lot of money. You know? So what questions can you ask, and what exploration can you do to find alternatives that work for you? And what I'd like to bring our attention to now is in Access Consciousness, we talk a lot about choosing the lightness and choosing what's light. And we might avoid something because we say, oh, that feels that feels heavy, right? So I'm not going to do it. Only let's say taxes feel heavy. So you say, you're not going to do them. And then you don't find any point at which they're light. And so, you know, we have to ask more questions when something feels heavy. Like, I mean, because it just might be like, well, I don't like the idea of doing taxes. Or you might have a lot of projections and judgments about the thing that feels heavy. And if you're willing to explore through those or explode those and let go of them, you know, you're going to lighten up that activity. Gosh, there's so much more to talk about light and heavy and activities we're avoiding. So when we come back, we can have a more thorough conversation about that, because it's a real area that stops people up. So stay tuned, everybody. Thanks for listening to Imperfect Brilliance.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody, to Imperfect Brilliance. Betsy McLaughlin and Kathy Williams, your imperfectly brilliant co-hosts. We're so glad you're listening. And we are playing today in the arena of procrastination, avoidance, or something else. And right before the break, Kathy, you started to talk a little bit about the light and heavy. And I would love to have like just a little bit more explanation for people on if they're not familiar with what that is. So if you ask a question, what's a good example of a question, Cass, that you could ask when you're looking for the light and heavy?
So two of the ones I like to play with are truth? Are you an infinite being? And you can get a sense for you of how that lands. And then truth, are you a finite being? And how that lands, if you feel more constricted or more expansive with your response to each of those questions. Because one will have a different feel to it than the other.
Yes.
I've also played with the questions, now tap into your body and just ask yourself, okay, does my body like to drink paint? And does my body like to drink water? And you'll probably get some kind of visceral response or energetic response.
And what was the first thing you asked? Because you cut out a little bit, at least on my end. Does my body like to drink?
Paint.
Oh, paint. Because I thought you said pink at first, and I was like, that didn't make sense. Okay. So does my body like to drink paint? Or, and the second question, truth, does my body like to drink water?
Very different.
Very different, yes. Yes. And
so,
I've also
recommended
to people, too, like, you know, asking their bodies to show them, you know, like if they're, because some people may have a little bit more difficulty discerning the light and the heavy. So another question that you can ask is, hey, body, show me. And make it really clear. And it's not always the same. Sometimes for me, light is like this bubbles that are coming up inside, like this, like little champagne bubbles, you know, bubbling up through my diaphragm. Other times it's an excited energy. Other times it's more of a, just like a more expansive energy. So it's not like a one size fits all for every time you ask that question, you're going to get the same, at least not for me. And how is that for you, Kathy? Do you have different, types of light?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Even before I did Access Consciousness, you know, I used to have this sense of what was true for me. And it was energy that would go straight up from my head, straight up out. And it was subtle. It wasn't something, super gross. It was really subtle. And then if something was off, that line of energy would be off too. It would kind of go off to the right or the left, usually the right. So you can ask your body and you can ask yourself to make it really clear, what is light for me and what is heavy for me? And just recognize that what's light is true for you and what's heavy, there's something there that's a lie. It's something there that's off. And the thing is, a lot of times people misconstrue this as, okay, it's heavy, therefore I shouldn't do it. Or it's heavy, so that's a no. That means no. And it's really, no, heavy just means ask some more questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't say, I'm not doing that because it's heavy. And I've heard people say that, and I'm like, oh, time to ask more questions. Because it could even be that it's simply uncomfortable, right? It feels heavy because it's uncomfortable. Bless you. I'm avoiding making this phone call because I know it's not a comfortable thing for me to do. It's heavy. No, it's not heavy. It's uncomfortable. And when we're expanding our comfort zone, I say this a lot now, when we're expanding our comfort zone, it is uncomfortable. That's the whole idea. You're expanding.
Yes.
As you lift a heavier weight, if you lift a heavier weight than you're used to, it's uncomfortable. You're expanding.
Yeah.
So don't disregard something just because it's heavy. Start to ask more questions. You know, do I have points of view that are limiting me in this area? Is this really heavy or is this just uncomfortable? What other questions might you ask, Betsy?
Wow, that's such a great example of the still lifting weights, you know, like it's when you first are doing something of a heavier weight, you know, it's difficult, but it's, and then 2 weeks later, you're adding more weight. You've got that weight down pat and you're adding more. So don't discount immediately if you get that it's a heavy. So what questions can you ask? And even sometimes I will ask that question, like, what questions can I ask here?
Yeah. Such a great question. Every question we ask opens the door to more awareness.
Yes.
So if you're
Absolutely.
Asking, what questions could I ask here, you're opening the door to your awareness about which questions you could ask.
Yes. And a lot of times there are situations, right? So if we're going back to the light and the heavy, if you're using the heavy to avoid things, what questions can you ask? How can I change? Some of our favorites is, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Can I change this? And if so, how? So again, inviting other possibilities in a situation where you're avoiding it or it's heavy or you're procrastinating, and so that you can really see what else truly is possible with whatever the situation is.
And sometimes you can't actually change it. Like, can I change who's the governor of my state? No, not in this 10 seconds, right? So it's like, okay, what else is possible? Or how could
right.
I work around this? And
yep.
things do move in magical ways. You know, like there was one woman in a class I was facilitating recently who said she showed up and the woman at the consulate that she was visiting said, oh, no, you cannot get all of this taken care of today. And she was like, well, I am going to. Like, I'm going to get it taken care of today. And the woman said, well, you need X, Y, and Z and this and this and this. And so she went back and she was able to obtain everything that she required and went back to the consulate. And the lady was like, well, this was done wrong and you won't be able to get it accomplished today. And the woman in my class asked the question. She said, well, what else is possible? And the woman took a look at her and said, I know you. And she didn't, but she said, I know you. Yeah, we can get this done today. We can. I already have you in the system, which she didn't, but we can take care of this. Yeah,
so
asking what else is possible is not just a question for you to ask in your head. You can actually ask it to an airline attendant, or to someone at the grocery store or the hotel or whatnot, or your spouse. What else is possible? What haven't we considered yet? What could we choose that would change this? And, you know, that gets everyone's wisdom and everyone's awareness turned toward that direction.
Oh, absolutely. That what else is possible? It would be interesting to actually track how many times in a week that I will ask that question. And it really does when you're on the phone booking, you know, a hotel and it's booked up, you know, you ask the question, what else is possible here? And there may or may not be something else possible, but if you don't ask, you're not going to know.
So true. Yeah. And, you know, so often something that no one had thought of opens up.
Magically appears. Yes, ma'am.
So what else is possible with the things you've been avoiding?
Yes. Truly, what else? And were there any others? Let's see. So So what else is possible with what I've been avoiding? How could this turn out greater than I can even possibly imagine? Is another question that I love, because it gets me out of anywhere in my mind that I may have set a limitation. So if I can't even imagine it, then what else is, am I asking the universe to contribute?
I love
what
that.
What else is possible beyond anything that I can even imagine?
Or I like to use beyond anything I've ever considered, because that's like, oh, cool. Like, I haven't even considered whatever it is in another lifetime before this, right? I've never considered it. So what else is possible there?
So cool. So we were talking a little bit about tricks with other people in our lives who might be procrastinators. Is anything else popping in for that one? Tricks, questions, techniques?
You know, sometimes I just, you know, for me, I have someone in my life who procrastinates a lot, and it's on getting you an answer, like getting or making a plan. I'll be like, how does this sound? And they say, I'll get back to you on that. Or, okay, well, and I'll say, well, you know, and do you have any ideas of what might work better? Or what might work better for you? And they'll say, I'll get back to you on that. And she doesn't. You know, she doesn't get back to me on that. So, yeah, and sometimes I'll be like, here, let me construct a plan. And then you give me any feedback on it. And so sometimes that works. It's like, here, if you won't tell me what you'd like, then I will create something and just give me the stamp of approval and let's go for it. Yeah. And sometimes even if you haven't heard our energy flows conversation or our energy vampire conversation, go into the archives, either on iTunes or here on Om Times, and listen to those kind of conversations, because those are energetic ways to get people engaged.
Yeah.
And they're really effective and create greater for both of you. So for all of you, if there's more than two people, really useful to use energy flows. And when something is frustrating, look at, oh, am I using energy flows here? Those of you who have taken the foundation or, you know, other Access Consciousness classes, if you haven't heard those two shows, you are already familiar with the energy flows. And when you're frustrated, take a look at that, because I've seen facilitators. We were all at a restaurant, and these poor waiters were overwhelmed. It was so clear. And the facilitators were not using energy flows, you know, to create a greater possibility. And so it's like we have to remind ourselves to use these things to create a greater possibility. And which reminds me, I have a 5-day challenge along with Alan Jones that starts July 21st, and it is a 5-day challenge of 5 different tools to get you remembering to use the tools. And you can visit my website, meetkathywilliams.com/upcoming. It should be there, and if it's not, ping me and I'll send you the link. And if it's not, it will be up in the next day or so, because I just thought of that. but yes, to remind ourselves to ask questions, to remind ourselves to use energy flows, remind ourselves, oh, yeah, if something feels sticky, I might have some points of view around it, and I can tell myself, oh, this is an interesting point of view. And as Betsy mentioned earlier, the tool, Who Does This Belong To?, is such a great one as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And know that you have choice. It just popped in. So
can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah. Yes. You can choose to continue avoiding if you are avoiding. You can choose to create something different. You can choose to procrastinate. You can choose to ask questions. Like whatever you choose, there's no right and there's no wrong. We can tend to make ourselves wrong for everything that we think is not going right. And I'm using air quotes here that you, of course, can't see. So what, you know, what else truly, truly is possible when you are in that space where you're asking questions and you realize that it's all a choice and you can choose to change it if you'd like?
If there were no right and no wrong, what would you choose?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you guys so much, as always, for listening to Imperfect Brilliance. We so appreciate you. Have a great week, and we'll be back next Tuesday.
Enjoy, and you can catch us anytime on iTunes, SoundCloud, or even right here on Own Time, so you can find all the replays. Thanks so much,
Yay!
Everyone. Have a great week. Aloha.
Bye-bye.